This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying on the surface of the planet Earth, the Department of Justice and SpaceX. What do they have in common? Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, informing us of a discovery for the Department of Justice that SpaceX has not hired any illegal migrants without American citizenship. All these months and years, not hired one of them. Nothing is to be found. Why? Bob, a very good evening to you. The Department of Justice, if I read these news releases correctly, is complaining in a filing against SpaceX that it is out of bounds when it comes to employing illegal migrants or people without green cards. What is the explanation for Mr. Musk's oversight? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. This lawsuit by the Justice Department, discrimination lawsuit, is utter garbage. Utter garbage. It is totally politics. It's kind of reminiscent of other recent indictments by federal and state authorities for political reasons only, not based on law. And this is a good example. The Justice Department is claiming that SpaceX has been discriminating against refugees and illegal immigrants because it restricts hiring to, quote, U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents only. So they've sued, and they're saying, you've got to fix this. You've got to either give compensation and back pay to anyone, quote, deterred or denied employment. And as well, the justice wants civil penalties against SpaceX. What's utter garbage about this is that SpaceX is a missile rocket company that falls under State Department regulations, which are based on congressional law written in the late 90s in response to China stealing technology. These State Department laws are export control laws called ITAR. And they are designed to prevent theft that like China did. That's what they're designed. I'm not sure they succeed, but nonetheless they exist. And they are extremely strict. I can't tell you the number of engineers who have commented on Behind the Block talking about how they check on you in every way. The paperwork is horrible. And the individuals, the managers, are personally liable if the company violates or they allow any violation in ITAR regulations. And one of the things about the ITAR regulations is you only can hire American citizens or lawful permanent residents, which is what SpaceX does. If you hire anybody else, though an illegal alien is always questionable, but if you hire anybody else, you can't have them anywhere near the work you're doing, or the State Department will shut you down very quick and make, once again, the managers themselves personally liable. So this lawsuit by Justice basically puts SpaceX between a rock and a hard place. If they had hired, I guarantee if they had hired any illegal alien or refugee, who is not yet a legal citizen, the State Department would have come in immediately and shut them down. So, on one hand, the Biden administration is demanding that they break the law and hire illegals, and on the other hand, the State Department is demanding that they follow the law and not hire illegals. And what this really is more proof that my prediction that the SpaceX next test launch of Super Heavy spaceship, it's not going to happen in August as SpaceX clearly wants it to happen. The Biden administration is doing whatever it can to squelch this free American citizen from achieving his goals for both profit and personal dreams. And this lawsuit demonstrates that, John.
Static test, Bob. They're moving ahead, at least on the planet Earth. What is the static test and what is its status?
This is Super Heavy Starship. As I've said on Behind the Black previously, Elon Musk is not one to sit on his hands when others try to stop him. So they're proceeding with everything they need to do to get ready for that orbital test launch, and he has said he wants to do it by the end of August. He's only got about a week, and I don't think it's going to happen, but that's another story. They're proceeding. So today they completed a full 5-second static fire test of all 33 Super Heavy Raptor 2 engines. This is Super Heavy only. They don't put Starship on top of it when they do a static fire test because they don't want to risk Starship. They want the test, the static fire test, to be completed and successful before they'll stack Starship on top, just to protect it. But this test appears to be a good one. Elon Musk has tweeted that it was a success, but we're going to have to wait for confirmation that all 33 Raptor engines fired as planned. The previous test, several shut down early, and it might be that all 33 fired, and most went for 5 seconds. But if there's a few that shut down, that will require additional work. But it appears right now, no, that wasn't the case.
And the Launch Foundation, Bob, the Rebuild Foundation, all held up everything on the.
Oh yeah, they had. I was about to say. They also tested the water deluge system that they installed to protect the pad from a full test like this. And not only did it work on the first static fire test, there was no damage. It worked on this, apparently. I mean, you had the water come pouring out before the engines were fired, and the water acts to prevent the sand from blowing out in gigantic amounts for miles. In other words, it acts as a way to, like you pour water, you spray water on dust to keep it from making a dusty environment. That's the same thing here. And so it appears everything has worked. We've got to wait, but they're ready to go, it looks like.
Do they need all 33 engines to get Starship into almost orbit?
Based on the first orbital launch, no. And this is the same as Falcon 9. It's designed so that if an engine conks out, the other engines can compensate, and you've got a lot of redundancy here to pick it up. They would like all the engines to function. The previous test launch, if Starship had separated as planned.
Right.
It did not. But had it separated as planned and its engines fired, it would have ran into orbit on the previous test. Even though in that test, I think 6 engines eventually conked out on Super Heavy. This is designed to give them some redundancy and protection in case some engines fail. They obviously want everything to work, and at this moment in time, it appears they all did, but we'll need confirmation on that.
Rocket Lab has a success. It's not quite reusability, but then again it is. Explain, Bob.
This is actually quite spectacular, John. What Rocket Lab has done now, they want to reuse their first stage of their Electron rocket. But they don't have the capability with that rocket to land it vertically. So they've been trying a variety of ways to see if they can recover it and reuse it. They originally were going to use parachutes to bring it down gently and then snatch it out of the air with a helicopter. They made the decision that snatching with helicopter was not really going to work. So they then decided, based on the stages they had recovered quickly out of the ocean, that they could possibly just reuse the stages immediately or after some checking and refurbishment, reuse those stages. And they've been doing this. And so in one of the earlier recoveries, they took an engine out of that Electron first stage, tested it. It functioned perfectly in tests. And so they installed it on a first stage, and this week they launched a satellite using a first stage with a reused rocket engine. What's really spectacular about this is that engine and their first stages are in the ocean, in salt water, and it's always been assumed the corrosive nature of salt water would just make these engines and rocket first stages not workable, and that's been the track record. But what's interesting about Rocket Lab is they're doing two things. One, they are using parachutes to slow down the recovery and also somewhat control the landing so that the recovery ship can get to the first stage really quickly, and it appears that is eliminating the problem. They say that based on the results of this reused engine and the condition of the recovered first stage, because this first stage was also recovered with the intent to reuse, they hope in the coming months, very soon, to launch a Electron rocket with an entirely used first stage. That makes them number two in the world in attempting to do reusability in rockets, John.
Isaacman is a cowboy in space, but there's a delay. Who is Isaacman?
Jared Isaacman is the billionaire who flew on a SpaceX Dragon capsule a few years ago in 21 with other people as a private mission. He paid for it. He did not dock at ISS so he could stay out of any interview. The government had no say in what he did. They orbited for a few days, and then he came back to Earth. Isaacman paid for it. He used it as a funding tool for St. Jude's Children's Hospital and raised a lot of money for the hospital. Public relations stunt to raise money for the hospital. But then, after that mission, he signed a deal with SpaceX to produce what he calls the Polaris space program of three flights. He's paid for three flights with SpaceX. The first two will be on Dragon capsules. The first is this next one, which they want to do the first private spacewalk in space. The second, they're talking with NASA about possibly doing a Hubble repair mission with the capability of the Dragon capsule to get close and to do spacewalks. The third mission would be on Starship, go around the moon. Now, the news this week is that first flight with at a spacewalk, they were hoping to do it this year. It's now been delayed till early 24, and it appears the issue is the spacesuit. They need to make sure they've got a spacesuit that will work in a spacewalk, and SpaceX is developing it for Isaacman, and so they got to make sure that's going to work, and it appears that the development is taking more time than expected.
Bobby,
so that's what's happened.
You triggered a memory. Who was the cosmonaut who had to deflate his spacesuit to get back inside Vostok, I think it was?
That was Alexei Leonov. He was the first person to do a spacewalk in space. The Soviet Union did this knowing we were planning to do a spacewalk, so they always tried to jump ahead of us to get the first. When he got out into space, everything was working, but his suit started to expand, and he couldn't get back inside the capsule. And so he literally had to vent some air from his suit to squeeze himself back in, and it was a touch-and-go for a few minutes, John.
The Adventures of Space Junk. Deorbited, struck by space... is it Space Junk hit Space Junk? Is that what it is?
Yes, space junk hits space junk, but this is what's ironic about this particular story. The piece of space junk that got smashed was an abandoned payload adapter that a company in Europe, funded by the European Space Agency, plans to capture and deorbit with its own space junk removal system. And they were planning to do this, and the space junk they were planning to take now has been hit by space junk. Fortunately, it appears that the payload adapter was not broken in any significant way, though there is now extra debris floating around it from the impact, probably from whatever object hit it, and they haven't clarified that yet. And so they are now studying the situation because they plan to launch in 26 and use this project. It was to use four grappling arms to grasp the payload adapter and then deorbit both together, burn it up in the atmosphere. They now have to take into consideration the possibility there's other debris around that might form a problem.
And North Korea, is this a legitimate space program, Bob, or cover for ballistic missiles? Can you tell?
Yes. to quote Yogi Berra, you come to the fork in the road, you take it. This is obviously a space program. They're trying to get an orbital satellite, a military reconnaissance satellite, they claim is one, into orbit. So it's a space program, but it's definitely missile technology, and if you can get a rocket into orbit, it means you have the capability to build an ICBM that can reach anywhere in the world. So it's both. This is the second time. Now, North Korea has launched satellites in the past, but it's been almost a decade since they did it last. And it appears that recently they've decided to try again. It's not clear if this is a new rocket or the old rocket, but this is the second attempt in the last few months. A May attempt failed. This week they tried again, and it also failed. This time it failed apparently with the third stage. The first one failed very early in the program, in the flight. But this one, the first and second stages apparently worked, but the third stage did not. It appears that something went wrong when they fired the third stage. I'm sure that South Korea is going to once again try to attempt recovery operations because they were able to get the satellite and parts of the first stage on the previous launch and determine that the satellite had no military utility But whether they can do it or not is hard to say, because this did get higher in the sky, which meant it fell farther in the ocean, and therefore it's going to be harder to find and more damaged.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to the surface of the moon. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.